Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you today. I'm so glad you're here. Man, if we haven't told you lately, we just want to tell you that we love you so much. We're thankful that you're here today to be with us. Just look around. A lot of great people here today. Why don't you reach back, shake somebody's hand, give them a high five, tell them you're glad they're here today. Amen. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good to be here. Got a lot of great activities going on, and we're so blessed. Hey, life groups are today starting sign-ups, rather. So be sure you get into a life group. It's a good way to connect. You know, people say sometimes, oh, how do you connect? Well, you get involved. You join a life group, go to foundations class, find a place to serve. So let me encourage you, because it's an integral step. We don't just do life groups or have life groups. We are a church of life groups because we are committed to those. So please, you miss out if you don't get into a life group for this next semester. Also, our legacy offering is coming up at the end of March. Once a year, we give a very special sacrificial gift for missions and for updates on the campus that are here. We're in the process of continuing to do things. And so pray and ask God what he would have for you to give. And I want to say thank you for the birthday gifts. You know, it's my birthday month. When you get as old as I am, you have a month. So I'm still open for gifts, all right? Hey, I was reading a story this week about a couple that had celebrated over 50 years of being married. Can you imagine? 50 years. And someone said, well, what's the secret? What's the secret to that? And the guy said, well, said, I treat my wife nice, and said, I take her on trips with me. And, you know, he said, I try to make sure that she's an integral part of that in my life. And said, on our 25th wedding anniversary, I took her to Paris. Oh, that's so nice. Where did you take her on your 50th? He said, I went back and got her. Maybe we should pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence. And Lord, as we continue in this series around the table, we pray you'd speak to us today as we talk about healing in the home. For our homes need healing. Whether we're married, not married, in relationship, parents, children, even in our culture, Lord, we need healing. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint me today. Help me to say what you want me to say. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. At the end of the service today, may you be glorified, Lord, more than anything else. May your church be edified, lifted up, and may the devil be terrified in the name of Jesus. Could I just take off my pastor hat, my friend hat this morning, and could I just take and put on a hat of accountability and say something really strong today? Can you handle something strong? I know some of you may have something strong to drink before you came, so anyway. I'm talking about coffee. What do you think I was talking about? But some of you are better Christians in public than you are with your family members in private. Think about this. You're patient at work. You're kind in church. You smile at people. You try your best to encourage strangers. But at home, you find yourself short, cranky, defensive, selfish, and you always have to win the argument. You always have to get the last word in. And if we're honest, the people that we see the most sometimes get the worst part of us. That's my encouraging word for today. But maybe now we should look and see what Paul helps us in those areas. Romans chapter 12. In fact, would you read this out loud with me today? We'll start the very beginning where it says, love each other. Are you ready? Let's go. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. The real test of love, say love, isn't about people, how we treat people that we visit. It's about how we treat people that we live with. And so this series, Around the Table, keeps bringing us back to the table, which is a metaphor for family. And we're all part of a family. Even if you don't have a biological family here, you're part of this family. And the table that we gather around the most, I really believe, is maybe the table where we need the healing most. I mean, everybody has some sort of table at home. And I know we're living in a culture today that a lot of people don't even gather around the table anymore, except maybe Thanksgiving or Easter or maybe your birthday, something like that. But yet, the table is a metaphor for family. And so when we think about a table, I want you to think about back in your life of the table you grew up around. I want you to think about the times that maybe you had some real joy around the table. Anybody have those times of real joy around the table? I mean, people were like laughing. My mother was a laugh addict. I don't know how she, I think she got all the laugh in our family, and I didn't get any. But I mean, at the drop of a hat, she could cackle. You know what cackle laugh is? I mean, that's like, yeah, sort of like that. That's really good. Do that again, all right? I mean, no matter where you were, she would do that. And then at the table, that would happen. And then my sister, because she tried to mimic her. She didn't have the same gift, but she'd try really hard to mimic. And me and my dad, my brother just sort of sat there like, are you over this yet? But inside, we knew what that was to have some laughter or joy. Also, how many of you know what it's like that everybody sits down at the table and everybody is exhausted? Or maybe hurt that's wrapped in silence and nobody talks. The question isn't, are we bringing something to the table? The question is, what are you bringing to the table when you sit down? Here are a few things I'd like for us to look at today. And if you're taking notes, this is point number one. This would be good to take notes because learners are note takers. Number one, bring to the table something that offers positive results and produces life. Bring to the table something that offers positive results, not nagging, complaining, finding fault, but positive results. Think about that. Because here's what Galatians 6 and 7 says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also what? That he will also what? So what I sow, I'm going to reap back. So if there's not laughter and joy and peace in your home, maybe we need to start asking myself, what am I bringing to the table? Am I bringing something that offers positiveness, that offers life? Or am I just sort of like just barely dragging along and always trying to create something that's not right? Every table carries more than food. It carries attitudes, history, unspoken emotions. We can bring anger. We can bring pride, or we can bring unforgiveness to the table. One woman said to her pastor, I know when my husband has had a good week or a bad week by how he puts his fork down. She said, when he's had a good day or a good week, he puts his fork down and he leans back and he laughs and he enjoys our time together. But she said, but when he's had a tough day at the office, she said, he cuts his meat like he's fighting it. She said, we're at the same table, the same roast, but there's a different attitude. The kids may not know that you had a bad board meeting that day, but I'll tell you what they do notice. They notice the atmosphere around the table has changed. Nobody announces it, but everybody absorbs it. You know what I'm talking about? You just know. You can see the atmosphere. Your family may not know what happened at work that day, but they know what you carried home with you. We know how it feels when somebody shows up to dinner and they're mad, but they insist they're fine. What's wrong? I'm fine. Come on, really, what's wrong? I'm fine. Come on, tell me. I said I'm fine, right? What is that saying? That's saying I'm bringing something to the table, an unspoken tension. And what that happens is that unspoken attention always eats everything first, and it quickly cuts the table meeting short. What we bring to the table either affects with a connection or tension. So when you get around people, are you connecting or does it create tension? Do you ever notice that when you're in a group of people and someone walks up and it's not long till everybody disperses and starts going in a different direction? Could it be that you're a person that's bringing tension and not connection? You're the person that everybody dodges at Walmart when they see you coming down the other way because you just have that attitude about you that you're always negative, you're always complaining, and you're always just stirring something instead of bringing peace. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, read this with me, a gentle answer deflects anger. A gentle answer deflects anger. Somebody gets upset, they get in your face. Instead of getting red in the face and giving it back to them, you know, we're good at that, giving them back to them. Have you ever noticed that if you just pause, maybe just pray under your breath a little bit, or you count to 10, whatever you do, and you don't look like you're going to get red in the face and explode, but you're just trying to give a gentle answer, that it can deflect temper. Healthy families are not perfect families. Can I get an amen? Healthy families are not perfect families, but they are grace-filled families. Say grace-filled. Grace-filled. Grace is something I don't deserve, but I get. Aren't you glad that there are people in your life that don't give you what you deserve? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve? You fail Him and you come with this a head hunkered down, you feel ashamed, but you just sense His love. And you think, how could God be so graceful to me? You see, grace, catch this, grace is the auto-tuner for your family's harmony. You know what an auto-tuner is? They put it on machines so that when you record an album, that if you're off just a little bit, it can bring you back right on true pitch. Now, I'm not an auto-tuner. I can't tell if you're on pitch or off pitch. Anita will say, listen to that. They're off a little bit. Well, they sounded good to me. All I know is it's there. But if you're going to put it on the album, you want to be sure that it's just right. So an auto-tuner doesn't take the voice away, and it never erases their voice. An auto-tuner simply corrects what is slightly off so that everything is in tune. Grace is like that in our homes. Grace doesn't pretend that there are no mistakes. Grace doesn't mute our conversations. Grace doesn't demand perfection. Grace gently adjusts what sin, stress, and selfishness knock out of tune. Every family, sometimes emotions run high. Can I get an amen? Sometimes words come out that are wrong. Anybody had any words come out this week that as you're saying them, you're thinking to yourself, I should not be saying this, right? I'll raise my hand. I'm one of the first ones, or I said something this week, yesterday, that I knew when it came out of my mouth that I shouldn't be saying that, right? Just that guilt. But am I going to tell my wife? No, not until today. That's the sorry thing about preaching. When you get up here, you got to be honest. You got to preach things. So you got to preach things that when we get home, said, maybe you should go back and listen to your teaching today. Yeah, words come out of our mouth sometimes that are not just right. But grace does this. Grace adjusts it and says, let's realign before this becomes discord. Without grace, one harsh word can ruin the whole song. But with grace, love stays audible even when notes are missed. Thank God for grace in our life. Let's have more grace towards one another, shall we? Let's have more grace. Number two, move toward each other, not away. That's God's culture. Move towards each other, not away. When we mess up, what is our instinct? We're going to run. What do? Especially as men, we withdraw. We shut down. We avoid. We don't want to talk about it. You know, same with our day. How was your day? Great. Anything happened today? It's all good. Jask, some people that are very conversive, i.e. women, how was your day? And you get a long dissertation. And you dare not look the other way. You better be sure that you give grace to stay eye contact before service today. Anita sat down in between services. She said, before the first service, I've got an idea. And I'm looking at my notes and she says, are you listening? Can you pay attention to my idea? So I really quickly took my eyes off the notes. And so if I mess up somewhere today, it's her fault, okay? And I gave her attention. Why? Because I wanted to move away from her. I wanted to move towards her and not away. And when somebody messes up, we do the same thing. We start to pull back. We cut off. We create distance. Restoration happens when we replace distance with understanding. Restoration happens when we replace distance with understanding. A nurse said, I heard her talking about people in the ICU unit. And she said, when families discover that somebody's not going to make it, she said, I've noticed something happens. Arguments cease. People who haven't spoken in years join hands, begin to pray. She said this, and I thought this is so powerful. Perspective changes everything. Perspective changes everything. Because suddenly, listen to this, suddenly being right doesn't matter. Being together matters. Being right, it's not always what we have. I just got to make sure this. No. How about just saying the thing that it's important is that we're together? Whether that's husband and wife, wife and husband, whether that's parent and child, child and parent, whether that's just you in a relationship with somebody else, we don't always have to be right. What is it about us that we always feel that we have to be right? Part of that comes from we're just not settled in ourselves that I don't always have to be right. Because Scripture says, God says, vengeance is mine. So if you try to get vengeance yourself, you always try to be right. You don't leave God a chance to do anything. Suddenly, being right doesn't matter. But being together does. But why does it take a loss to wake us up? Why does it take a child that leaves home and you don't know where they are to wake us up that maybe I haven't treated this child right? Why does it take somebody walking in and saying, I'm over, I want a divorce, I'm out of here, I don't want to be. Why does it take that much to wake us up? This is a wake-up call today to say that we need healing in our homes and healing in our relationships. Amen? Romans 12 says, I like this. Paul says, if possible, say if possible. So far as it depends on you. I like this. So Paul's setting us up for something. He said, now listen, I know what I'm going to ask you may seem impossible. But he said, if at all, as much as it depends on you. Because what he's saying is sometimes it doesn't always depend on you. Like between services today, a parent came up to me and said, I've got to call my son today. My son has been at odds with me because I was honest with him and told him something in his life that wasn't right. And he said, I call all of my kids and they check in, but my son doesn't check in with me anymore. And he was crying. And he said, I've got to reach out to him because I don't want to continue to live like this. Now, you can't always make somebody call you back, but you can do what Paul says here. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with people who are peaceful living. With all? Are you serious? So he says, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. You're sitting at the table. A smaller child spills a drink or starts to move his plate, drops it, and just smatters it. Everybody freezes. The child freezes. The parent freezes. Because the next move either brings fear into the culture of your home or it brings grace and love and forgiveness. How many of you, in growing up, you sat at a table or somewhere like that, and you did something wrong, you spilt something, you broke something, and the next thing you know, you're sort of dodging, right? Some of us have come from that. You came, so was the culture. The culture is, if I do something wrong, I better dodge, I better pull back away, because they're not going to accept me as I really am. But I'm so thankful God doesn't treat us that way. You see, I'm so afraid that in our families, we've created a culture that kids continue that culture in their marriages, and it keeps going down. Children will not remember every meal that you serve them, but they'll remember how they felt at the table. Restoration begins when someone decides, I want us whole more than I want us right. One decision can change the culture of your family. Number three, bring peace to the table, not pieces. Bring peace, P-E-A-C-E, not pieces. Don't bring pieces. You just tear everybody apart and everything that's there. Paul says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, listen to this. Clothe yourself with what? Love. Clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Clothe yourself in love. That would be a good prayer every day. Lord, help me to put on love today. Let me be someone who brings peace and not pieces. Let me be someone who brings peace, not pieces. A counselor had been counseling a couple for a long time, and on the next to the last counseling appointment, he brought in a huge suitcase, and he told them to pick up this suitcase, lay it on the table, and it's very heavy. Lay it on the table and open it up. And when they opened it up, what they found inside were rocks. He said, each of those rocks represents something that you have not forgiven each other about through the years that you've been married. And the counselor went on to say, you've been carrying those rocks into every conversation that we've had. And he said, unforgiveness is heavy, and it never travels alone. Some of us that are here in this service today and online, you aren't fighting about something that happened today. You're fighting about something that happened 5 years ago, and you still keep bringing it up. You still keep talking about it. You're carrying around that huge, heavy luggage. We must be aware of what we're bringing to the table. It's not just our presence, but it's our posture. It's not just our words, but it's our attitude. So the question is, what utensils are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing a spoon? You just keep stirring stuff. You ever met somebody like that's a stirrer? I mean, they just stir. You say something and they just stir it. They just stir, 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 stir. Or maybe you are a sifter. Some of you don't know what this is. I never understood why my mother used a sifter. She'd take flour, put it in there, go and bake something, and she would sift. And I would think, why in the world would somebody package flour that's not in good shape that you got to sift through? I guess there's a real reason, because there's a little hose here. You get the small things through, do all that. I don't know. But I'm so glad that we can be a sifter. Now, what I realize is that some people are not satisfied. They're not satisfied with just a spoon. They have a super spoon. And man, I mean, they're good. You've had so much practice with your super spoon, you carry it with you wherever you go. It could be with your kids. It could be at church. It could be somewhere else. Somebody starts something and you pull out your super spoon and you just stir and stir and stir and stir. But if you think about Jesus never stirred stuff up. He brought peace. He was able to sift through things. In fact, when Jesus came to the table, he pulled the table out, pulled the chair out. He asked one of his disciples to sit in it. He took out a towel and he knelt down. Sean, if I can't get back up, you got to help me. And he washed his disciples' feet. Why can't we have that same kind of love in our families? Why can't we be sifters who sift out the things that are wrong? I was just thinking that maybe Andrea, you or Jen could write a song on everybody ought to be a sifter. Can't you imagine? Everybody ought to be a sifter, a sifter, a sifter. A stir won't work, a stir won't work. Everybody ought to be a sifter. Yeah, the production room back there told me a while ago that they're thinking about that song. Maybe it might play for a good worship song somewhere. So the question is, what utensils are you bringing to the table in your life? A spoon to stir the pot or a sifter to work things out? Unforgiveness stirs the pot. It doesn't solve the problem. A spoon might be good for several things. I got to be honest. I've been on the back end of this spoon. But it's not good to bring healing. But a sifter is. Someone who keeps stirring something that should be dealt with. Paul said, make allowance for each other's faults. You don't excuse them, but you make allowance. Some people don't just stir the pot. They just keep escalating in it. Stirring the pot may feel justified for the moment. Well, I've got to make this straight. I got to make this right. But that's not like Christ. Forgiveness is not pretending something didn't happen. And it's not stuffing it down on the inside, but it's bringing forgiveness out. Immature people fight to win. Mature people fight to repair. Immature people fight to win. Mature people fight to repair. Peace is kept when we guard our hearts, not stir the offense. This is what forgiveness does. That's why we need peace. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan comes to David to tell him a story. A terrible situation has happened. An injustice has occurred. David burns with anger. He said, tell me the man. I'm going to deal with him right now. That's a terrible thing. And Nathan looks at him and Nathan says, you're the man, David. You stole somebody's wife. You had her husband killed. You're the man. So immediately, we understand that David could clearly see other things in other people, but he was blind to himself. And that's where we may live if we're not careful. It's easier to point out something in somebody else than it is to be honest. It's easier to stir the pot than to search the heart. Some of you are sitting here today, and in all honesty, when you think about your table, you've got an empty chair. Maybe it's where somebody has just died. Maybe it's where somebody has walked away. Maybe the empty chair is really somebody sitting there physically, but emotionally they're gone and they've been gone for a long time. What causes that? What causes somebody to sit at a table, be there physically, but be gone? What causes those relationships between parents and kids and husbands and wives? It's not one big event. But it's a bunch of little small things, over and over. Unsaid apologies, unreleased offenses, you've been holding those in. Unkind words, conversations that you've rehearsed over and over and over in your head, but they said and they said and they did, but you never come face to face with dealing with those. I pastored this church for 30 years. I stood in a lot of hospital rooms, and I've seen people say, as they watch their husband, their wife dying, their parent, I wished I'd have fixed this sooner. I've seen strong men come, sit in the office and cry because they lost their wife and they lost their family. As they're crying, they say, why didn't I say I'm sorry? Why didn't I wake up? My dad died at 76, a brain aneurysm, healthy guy. Woke up in the middle of the night, said, oh, my head. And he fell down and they rushed him to the hospital in St. Louis. They put him on the instruments to keep him alive. All of us kids were able to get there. I went in and he was really gone. The life support system was just keeping him there for a while. I remember standing in that room and thinking, I should have called him more. He was a good man. I should have called him more. With a teaching like this today, I know there's a chance that some of us are thinking, but I've already blown it with my kids. I've already blown it with my marriage. But I'm going to tell you, if your heart's still beating, you still have a chance to do some things that are right. Maybe you made some mistakes, but today's the day to start over. I'm not trying to blame anyone today. I'm not trying to dig up your past. And I'm not pretending that nothing really happened. But really what I'm saying today, it's about something or someone that's strong enough to say, I'll go first. I'll go first. Before I try to fix the table, I'm going to ask God to fix my heart. Before I try to correct you, I'm going to ask God to search me. Before I stir the pot, I'm going to ask him, Lord, would you sift me? David prayed this prayer after he sinned and failed God, as he felt the sifting grace of God. Search me, O God. Would you pray that with me right now? It's out loud. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me on a path of everlasting life. For some of us today, we may need to make a phone call. Maybe you need to write a letter today. Maybe you need to forgive someone who's never asked your forgiveness. Maybe today you need to walk across the room, hug someone, and say, we're not going to keep living like this. And hear me clearly. You're not weak for going first. You're just more Christ-like. Because God didn't wait for us to get it all together. Chris, he didn't say, Chris, nation, get your act together. You drug dealer, you liar, you cop runner. Get your act together and I'll visit you. But he came to you while your life is still in its shambles. And so today he's doing the same thing. He's coming to us and saying, I'm not asking you today to have perfect relationships. I'm just asking you to start today. Start today, be Christ-like. Listen, if there's anything in your heart today, bitterness, distance, coldness, shame, unforgiveness, pride. I have one word for you today. Surrender. If you want God to search your heart today, if you want peace instead of pieces, be willing to say, I'll go first. If you're here today as a believer, as a Christ follower, or maybe today is the first time that you've come to church in a long time, if somewhere in this teaching today, somewhere the Lord just sort of put his finger on the area of your life and said, could you deal with this? Now, we can't deal with everything at once, but that one thing that he shows you, would you be willing to deal with that today? Would you be willing to let me pray with you about that one area? If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads and keep it secret, but I'm going to ask you in just a minute to raise your hand if you say, yep. There's something in this teaching that touched my heart, and I'm going to be honest today, and I'm going to raise my hand and say, that's me. Would you raise your hand? Hands going up all over today. Going up all over today. Let me lead you into prayer today. You can bow your head, close your eyes, and just repeat after me. Father, I don't want to be right. I want to be whole. Search me. Sift me. Soften me. Let grace be louder than my pride. Let humility be stronger than the offense. Let peace rule my heart so peace can rule our table. And Lord, restore what the enemy tried to fracture. In Jesus' name. As you continue to pray today, I want to talk to those of you today who really you need the forgiveness of the Lord. There's a story, a true story about a Spanish father and a son, and they became estranged. The son ran away and the father set out to search for him. He searched for months, but he couldn't find him. Finally, after months in desperation, he took out an article in the newspaper and it said this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, Father." On Saturday, over 500 young men named Paco showed up in front of the post office, wanting to have forgiveness and love from their fathers. I don't know how, maybe you've wandered away from the Lord or you've moved from him and you've never ever invited him into your life. But he's saying, "I want to meet you this morning. I want to give you forgiveness. I want to give you a purpose for life and a hope for eternity." If that's you today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, or you need to do that again today, would you raise your hand? Raise it high and let me see you this morning. I want to pray with you. Just say, "Yeah, that's me. I need to make that right. Thank you, ma'am." Others today, just lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, that's me. I need God's forgiveness today. There's things in my life that I've been dealing with. Those of you who are watching online, you can just post there and say, "Yeah, that's me. I'm lifting my hand." Pray this prayer with me today, would you? Father God, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I need you. As best as I know how, I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Church, would you celebrate with those who made that decision today? Come on.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.